insisted. As I approached, our eyes met. I could see he was as upset as I was.
Does that even matter? Mom said. Anyone of age is allowed to put his name in.
Dad nodded.
That's true. It's a bit of a strange situation, but there's nothing illegal about it. But I don't want to be a part of this.
Kyle looked at Dad imploringly. Who put your name in? I asked. Kyle shook his head.
I don't know. It has to be a mistake. Why would I enter when I don't want to compete?
Mom's eyes were on General Ledger, and it looked almost like they were smiling. But there wasn't anything funny about this.
Excuse me, I protested. This is unacceptable. Is anyone going to do anything about it?
Pick someone else, Kyle offered.
General Ledger shook his head.
Edelin announced your name in front of the country. You're the candidate from Angeles. That's right,
Dad agreed.
Reading the names publicly makes it official. We can't replace you.
Kyle rolled his eyes. He did that a lot.
Then Edelin can eliminate me the first day.
And send you where? I asked. You're already home.
Aaron chuckled.
Sorry, he said, noticing our glares. That's not going to sit well with the others. Send me away,
Kyle offered, sounding thrilled.
For the 100th time, Kyle, you're not leaving,
Miss Marley said, in the firmest voice I'd ever heard her use. She put her hand to her temple, and Mr. Carter wrapped an arm around her, speaking into her ear.
You want to go somewhere else?
I asked, incredulous. Isn't a palace good enough for you?
It's not mine, he said, raising his voice. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm over the rules, I'm over being a guest, and I'm so over your bratty attitude.
I gasped as Miss Marley thwacked her son over the head.
Apologize, she commanded.
Kyle pressed his lips together, looking at the ground. I crossed my arms. He wasn't leaving until I got an apology. I'd get it one way or another. Finally, after a forceful shake of his head, he muttered it under his breath. I looked away, hardly impressed with his efforts.
We'll move forward as planned,
Dad said.
This is a selection just like any of the others. It's about choices. Right now, Kyle is one option of many, and Edelin could certainly do worse. Thanks, Dad.
I quickly checked Kyle's expression. He was staring at the floor, seeming embarrassed and angry.
For now, I think we should all get some food and celebrate. This is a very exciting day.
That's right,
General Ledger agreed.
Let's eat.
I'm tired, I said, turning. I'll be in my room. I didn't wait for approval. I didn't owe anyone anything after tonight. I was giving them everything they wanted. Chapter 8. I avoided everyone over the weekend, and no one seemed bothered by it. Not even Mom. With the names out there, the selection felt that much more real. And I was saddened by the dwindling days of solitude. The Monday before the candidates arrived, I finally rejoined humanity and made my way to the women's room. Miss Lucy was there, seeming back to her usual, cheerful self. I kept wishing I could do something to help her. I knew a puppy wasn't a person, but so far my only idea was to get her a pet. Mom was talking to Miss Marley, and they waved me over the moment I was through the doorway. Miss Marley put her hand on mine as I sat.
I wanted to explain about Kyle. He doesn't want to leave because of you. He's been talking about going for a long time, and I thought the semester away would put an end to it. I can't bear to let him go.
You'll have to let him make his own choice sooner or later,
Mom urged. Funny. Since she was the one trying to marry her daughter to a stranger.
I don't understand it. Josie never talks about leaving.
I rolled my eyes.
Of course she doesn't. But what can you do? You can't force him to stay.
Mom poured a cup of tea and set it in front of me. I'm hiring another tutor. This one has hands-on experience and can give Kyle more than a book could, so I think I've bought some more time. I keep hoping. Aunt May burst into the room, looking as if she stepped out of a magazine. I bolted over to her and gave her a bone-crushing hug.
Your Highness, she greeted.
Shut up. She laughed and pulled me back, grasping me by both shoulders and looking into my eyes.
I want to hear everything about this election. How are you feeling? Some of those pictures were cute. Are you already in love?
Not even close, I replied with a laugh.
Well, give him a few days.
That's how it was with Aunt May. A new love every few months or so. She treated the four of us, and our cousins, Astra and Leo, like we were her kids since she never settled down herself. I particularly enjoyed her company, and the palace always felt more exciting when she was here.
How long are you staying? Mom asked, and May held my hand as we crossed back to her.
Leaving again Thursday,
I gasped.
I know. I'm going to miss all the excitement.
She pouted at me.
But Leo has a game Friday afternoon, and Astra's dance recital is on Saturday. And I promised I'd be there. She's really coming along,
Aunt May said, turning to Mom.
You can tell her mother was an artist.
They shared a smile.
I wish I could go,
Mom lamented.
Why don't we?
I suggested, picking up some cookies for my tea. Aunt May gave me a questioning look.
You do realize you already have plans for this weekend, right? Big plans, life-changing plans.
I shrugged. I'm not too worried about missing them.
Edlin,
Mom reprimanded.
Sorry, it's just overwhelming. I like the way things are now.
Where are the pictures?
May asked. In my room, on my desk. I'm trying to learn the names, but I haven't gotten very far yet.
May waved her arm at a maid. Dearie, will you go up to the princess's room and grab the stack of selection candidates' forms off her desk?
The maid beamed and curtsied, and I suspected she'd be thumbing through the pile on her way down.
Mom leaned in toward her sister. I just want to remind you that one, they're off limits, and two, even if they weren't, you're twice their age.
Miss Marley and I laughed, while Miss Lucy only smiled. She was much easier on Aunt May than the rest of us.
Don't tease her, Miss Lucy protested. I'm sure she has the best intentions.
Thank you, Lucy. This isn't for me, it's for Edlin, she vowed. We're going to help her get a head start.
That's not really how it works.
Mom leaned back, drinking her tea with an air of superiority. Miss Marley laughed loudly.
This from you. Do we need to remind you of your head start?
What? I asked, shocked. How many details had my parents omitted from their story? What does she mean? Mom put down her tea and held up a hand defensively.
I accidentally ran into your father the night before the election started, and I will have you know, she said, more to Miss Marley than to me. I could easily have been kicked out for that. It wasn't exactly the first impression you hope for.
I sat there gaping. Mom, exactly how many rules did you break? Her eyes darted up as if she was trying to tally them.
Okay, you know what? Go through the pictures all you want. You win.
Aunt May laughed with delight, and I tried to memorize the way her head sloped gracefully to one side and her eyes sparkled. Everything about her was so effortlessly glamorous, and I adored her with a love close to what I held for my mother. While I felt a little slighted by Josie being my closest female playmate growing up, Mom's circle of friends more than made up for it. Aunt May's spirit, Miss Lucy's kindness, Miss Marley's buoyancy, and Mom's strength were invaluable, and more enlightening than any class I ever took. The maid came back, placing the pile of forms and pictures in front of me. To my surprise, it was Miss Marley who grabbed the first handful of applications to graze through. Aunt May was close behind, and while Mom didn't pick up any herself, she did lean over Miss Marley's shoulder to peek. Miss Lucy looked like she was trying not to be curious, but in the end, had a pile in her own lap as well.
Oh, he looks promising.
Aunt May shoved a picture in front of me. I stared into a set of dark eyes embedded deep in ebony skin. His hair was cropped short and he wore a bright smile. Baden Trains, 19 from Sumner.
He's handsome, Mom gushed.
Well, obviously, May agreed. And with a last name like Trains, he probably comes from a family of sevens. It says here he's in his first year studying advertising. That means either he or someone in his family is very determined.
True, Miss Marley agreed. That's no small feat. I pulled a couple of the forms over, picking through them.
So, how are you feeling? Aunt May asked. Is everything ready to go?
I think so. I flipped over an application, scanning for something that might seem remotely interesting. I just didn't care. For a while, everyone was in such a tizzy, I thought it might never end. It looks like all the rooms are finished, the food calculations have been made, and now that the list is official, travel arrangements should be done by tomorrow.
You sound positively thrilled, May teased, poking me.
I sighed, then looked pointedly at Mom. You might as well know, this isn't completely about me.
What do you mean, honey?
Miss Lucy asked, setting her pile of papers on her lap, looking between Mom and me with concern.
Of course, we're hoping Edelin will find someone worthy of settling down with,
Mom began shrewdly.
But as it happens, this is coming at a time when we were in need of a plan to calm the unrest over the castes.
Ames, May said, your daughter is a decoy?
No.
Yes, I muttered. Aunt May rubbed my back, and it made me feel so much better to have her there.
Sooner or later, we would have needed to look at suitors, and this isn't binding. Edelin has an agreement with Maxon that if she doesn't fall in love, then the whole thing is off. However, yes, Edelin is doing her job as a member of the royal family by creating a little diversion while the population cools down and we investigate what more we could do. And might I add, it's working.
It is? I asked.
Haven't you looked at the papers? You're the center of everything right now. Local papers are interviewing their candidates, and some provinces are holding parties, hoping their suitor will be the winner. Magazines are talking about possible frontrunners, and I saw a segment on the news last night about a few girls who were forming fan clubs and wearing shirts with the names of their favorites plastered all over them. The selection has consumed the entire country.
It's true, Miss Marley confirmed. Kyle living in the palace is no longer a secret.
Have they also discovered he has no interest in participating?
I asked, more irritation in my voice than I intended. Miss Marley wasn't to blame for this whole debacle.
No, she answered with a laugh. Again, though, that has nothing to do with you.
I smiled back. Miss Marley, you heard Mom. He doesn't need to worry. I think Kyle and I already know we wouldn't be that great of a match, and there's a chance I'll walk away from this without a fiancé anyway.
A 100% chance, to be more accurate.
Don't worry about him hurting my feelings, because I'm just seeing how it goes, I replied, as if this was normal, bringing in a slew of boys for me to pick from. I'm not upset.
You said it's taken over everything, May began, concerned. Do you think it will last?
I think it'll hold things off long enough for the people to forget some of the unhappiness that's been so prevalent lately, and for us to come up with a way to address issues if they pop up again.
Mom sounded confident.
When they pop up, I corrected.
My life might be exciting for a while, but eventually people will start worrying about themselves again. I went back to looking at the pictures, almost pitying these boys. They had no chance of winning, and no idea they were part of a public distraction.
This is strange, I said, picking up one of the applications.
I don't want to be judgmental, but look at this. I caught 3 different spelling mistakes on this one.
Mom took the form.
It's possible he was nervous.
Or an idiot, I offered.
May chuckled.
Don't be so harsh, sweetie. It's scary on their end, too.
Mom handed me the form, and I clipped it back to a picture of a boy with a very innocent face and a head full of wild blonde curls.
Wait, are you scared?
Aunt May asked, worry on my behalf coating her voice.
No, of course not.
Her expression relaxed back into its normal, beautiful, carefree state.
Can't imagine you being scared of anything.
She winked at me. It was comforting that at least one of us thought so. Chapter 9. When they started pouring in, I fled to my room, sketching in the sunlight on my balcony. Too many boisterous laughs and overly enthusiastic greetings. I wondered how long that camaraderie would last. This was a competition, after all. I mentally added finding ways to pit them against one another to my to-do list.
I think we should put my hair up, Nina. I want to look mature today.
Excellent choice, my lady.
She scrubbed at my nails.
Any thoughts on a dress?
I'm thinking evening gown. Black would do nicely. She chuckled,
looking to scare them.
I couldn't hold back my sly smile. Only a little. We giggled together, and I was glad to have her with me. I was going to need her soothing words and calming touches over the next few weeks. After my hair was dry, we braided and knotted it up like a crown, which only made my tiara look better. I found the black dress I'd worn for a New Year's Eve party last year. It was covered in lace and fitted to the knee before it flared out to the floor. An oval of skin was exposed across my back, and the tiny butterfly sleeves set low across my shoulders. I had to admit it looked even more beautiful in the sun than it did under candles. My clock struck 1, and I made my way downstairs. We had converted one of the libraries on the 4th floor into a men's parlor, so the selected could gather and relax during their time in the palace. It was about the same size as the women's room, and had plenty of places to sit, lots of books, and 2 televisions. I was heading to that area of the palace now. We had decided that the suitors would be brought out, 1 at a time, to greet me, and then escorted to the men's parlor to get to know one another. I saw a cluster of people down the hallway, including my parents and General Ledger, and made my way toward them, trying not to let my nerves show. Dad looked stunned, and Mom covered her mouth as I approached.
Edelyn, you seem so grown up.
She sighed as she touched my cheek and shoulder and hair, not fixing anything, just checking.
Probably because I am.
She nodded to herself, tears in her eyes.
You look the part. I never really thought I passed for a queen, but you, wholly perfect.
Stop it, Mom. You're completely adored. You and Dad brought peace to the country. I haven't done anything. She placed a finger under my chin.
Not yet, but you're too determined to accomplish nothing.
Before I could respond, Dad approached us.
Ready?
Yes, I answered, steadying myself. That wasn't the pep talk I'd been envisioning. I don't intend to eliminate anyone just yet. I figure everyone deserves at least a day. Dad smiled.
I think that's wise.
I took a breath. All right then, let's begin.
Do you want us to stay or go? Mom asked.
I considered.
Go. For now, anyway.
As you wish,
Dad said.
General Ledger and a few guards will be nearby. If you need anything, simply ask. We want you to have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Daddy.
No,
he said, embracing me.
Thank you.
He pulled away and offered his arm to Mom. They walked off, and I felt like I could see their happiness glowing simply in the way they moved.
Your Highness,
General Ledger said gently. I turned to see his smiling face.
Nervous.
I shook my head slightly, almost convincing myself. Bring the first one out. He nodded before making eye contact with a butler down the hall. A boy walked out of one of the libraries, straightening his cufflinks as he approached. He was lean and a little on the short side, but he had a pleasant enough face. He stopped in front of me, bowing.
Fox Wesley, Your Highness?
I tilted my head in greeting. A pleasure. He took in a breath.
You are so beautiful.
So I've been told. You can go now. I swept my arm across my body, pointing to the men's parlor. Fox furrowed his eyebrows before giving me another bow and leaving. The next boy was in front of me, tipping his head to greet me.
Hail, Garner, Your Highness.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much for letting us into your home. I hope to prove myself worthy of your hand more and more each day.
I cocked my head curiously. Really? And how will you do that today? He smiled.
Well, today I would let you know I come from an excellent family. My father used to be a two.
Is that all? Undeterred, he went on.
I think it's pretty impressive.
Not as impressive as having a father who used to be a one. His face faltered. You may go. He bowed and started to walk away. After a few steps, he looked back.
I'm sorry to have offended you, Your Highness.
And his face was so sad that I nearly told him he hadn't. But that wouldn't fall in line with my plan for the day. A parade of endlessly unmemorable boys crossed my path. A little past the halfway point, Kyle came through the line, stopping in front of me. For once, his hair was styled in such a way that I could actually see his eyes.
Your Highness,
he greeted. It's royal pain in the ass to you, sir, he chuckled. So, how have they been treating you? Your mom says the papers spilled that you lived at the palace. He shook his head in shock.
I thought that it would be an immediate invitation to be pummeled by a bunch of jealous meatheads, but it turns out, most of them see me as an asset.
Oh?
They assume I know everything about you already. I've been bombarded with questions all morning.
And what are you telling them exactly? He smirked, his smile slightly crooked.
What a pleasure you are, of course.
Right.
I rolled my eyes, not believing him for a second. You can go ahead.
Listen, I want to tell you I'm sorry again for calling you bratty.
I shrugged. You were upset. He nodded, accepting that excuse.
Still, it's unfair all the same. I mean, don't get me wrong, you are exceedingly spoiled.
He shook his head.
But you're tough because you have to be. You're going to be queen. And while I've seen things unfold in the palace, I've never actually had the weight of your work on me. It's not fair for me to judge.
I sighed. The polite thing would be to thank him. So fine. I would be polite. Thank you.
Sure.
There was a long pause. The men's parlor is that way, I said, pointing.
Right. See you later, I guess.
I smiled to myself, noticing as he left that he held a notebook in the hand he'd kept behind his back. Kyle looked better than usual, thanks to the mandatory makeover, but he was still an annoying little bookworm. It was clear that the gentleman after him was anything but.
His caramel-colored hair was brushed back, and he walked with his hands in his pockets, as if he'd strolled down these halls before. His demeanor actually threw me for a second. Was he here to meet me, or was I here to meet him?
Your Majesty,
he greeted silkily as he sank into a bow. Highness, I corrected.
No, it's just Ean.
He cocked one cheek up into a smile.
That was awful, I said with a laugh. It was a risk I had to take. There are 34 other guys here. How else was I supposed to get you to remember me?
His gaze was intent, and if I hadn't dealt with so many politicians in my life, I might have been charmed. Very nice to meet you, sir.
And you, Your Highness. Hope to see you soon.
He was followed by a boy with a drawl so thick I had to really focus to catch his words. Another asked when he was going to be paid. There was one who was sweating so much I had to call over a butler to give me a towel for my hand once he left, and the one after him blatantly stared at my chest for the entirety of our meeting. It was an ongoing pageant of disasters. General Ledger came to my side.
In case you've lost count, this is the last one.
I threw back my head in relief.
Thank goodness.
I don't think your parents will want to ask you for a follow-up, but you should go to them when you're done.
I gave him a look. If you insist. He chuckled.
Go easy on them. Your father has a lot to deal with right now.
He's got a lot to deal with? Did you see that one guy sweat?
Can you blame him? You're the princess. You have the capacity to sentence him to death if you wanted.
General Ledger had these sparkling green eyes that shimmered with mischief. One of those men who grew even more handsome as he aged. I knew it for a fact because Miss Lucy once showed me a picture of their wedding day, and he seriously only got better looking. Sometimes, if he was tired or if the weather was bad, he walked with a limp, but it never slowed him. Maybe it was because I knew how much Miss Lucy loved him, but he always seemed like a safe place. If I hadn't been nervous about him siding with Mom and Dad, I would have asked for his advice on how to get these boys to plead to go home. Something in his eyes made me think he'd know exactly how to do it. A few of them make me uneasy, I confessed. The smooth words, the leering eyes. Even though I grew up knowing I was special, I didn't like being looked at as a prize. His expression grew sympathetic.
It's a strange situation, I know, but you never have to be alone with anyone you don't like. You're free to dismiss someone for nothing more than a feeling. And even the dumbest of them wouldn't be stupid enough to hurt you.
He promised.
Trust me, if someone did, I'd make sure they never walked again.
He gave me a wink before moving away and signaling for the final contestant to be brought out. I was a bit confused when it wasn't one person but two. The first was dressed in a crisp suit, but the second wore only a button-up shirt. The slightly drabber one walked a few steps behind the other. His eyes trained on the floor. The first was nothing but smiles, and it looked like someone had tried to tame his hair and failed.
Hello, Highness, he greeted, his voice thick with an accent I couldn't identify. How are you?
Confused but disarmed by his incredibly warm smile, I answered. I'm well. It's been a long day. I'm sure it has been for you, too. Behind him, the other boy leaned forward and whispered something in garbled words I couldn't understand. The first nodded.
Oh, yes, but it's nice to meeting you.
He used his hands as he spoke, trying to get the words across with his gestures. I leaned in, not understanding and somehow hoping a closer proximity would clear up his accent.
Excuse me?
The boy behind him spoke up.
He says it's a pleasure to meet you.
I squinted,
still confused.
My name is Henry.
He bowed in greeting, and I could see in his face that he meant to do this earlier and forgot. I didn't want to be rude, so I nodded my head in acknowledgement. Hello, Henry. He lit up at the sound of his name, and he stood there, looking back and forth between the gentleman behind him and me. I can't help but notice your accent, I remarked in what I hoped was a friendly tone. Where do you come from?
Swind,
he began, but turned to the guest with him. He nodded, carrying on in Henry's place.
Sir Henry was born in Swindway, so he has a very strong Finnish accent.
Oh, I replied. And does he speak much English? Henry piped up.
English? No, no.
He didn't seem embarrassed, though. Instead, he laughed it off. How are we supposed to get to know each other? The translator turned to Henry.
Mitten sa dun man dui sansa?
Henry pointed to the translator, who answered,
Through me, it seems.
Okay, well,
I wasn't prepared for this.
Was it rude for me to dismiss him? Interacting with these people one-on-one was going to be awkward enough. I wasn't prepared for a third person. In that instant, Henry's application popped back into my mind. That was why some of the words were spelled wrong. He was guessing at them. Thank you. It's very nice to meet you too, Henry. He smiled at his name, and I got the feeling the rest of the words didn't even matter. I couldn't send him away. The men's parlor is over here. Henry bowed as his translator mumbled the instructions, and they walked away together. General Ledger? I called, burying my face in my hands.
Yes, Your Highness.
Tell Dad I'll update him in an hour. I need to take a walk. Chapter 10. We made it through the first day, the first dinner, and the first evening without further incident. As the cameras circled the dining hall, I could hear the men working them sigh in boredom. I didn't address anyone in the group, and the boys themselves seemed too nervous even to speak to one another. I could hear Dad's thoughts as clearly as if they were my own. This is dull. No one will want to see this. How will this buy us a single second, let alone 3 months? He glanced over at me a few times, begging me with his eyes to do something, anything, to make this worth enduring. I was at war with myself. I didn't want to fail him, but any warmth on my part today would set a bad precedent. They needed to know that I wasn't going to fawn over them. I told myself not to worry. In the morning, everything would change. The following day, the boys were dressed in their best, ready for the parade. An army of people swarmed on the front lawn, ready to prep us to go beyond the gates. Dad was proud of this idea, my biggest contribution to the selection so far. I thought it would be exciting to have a short parade, something never done before. I felt certain this would give everyone something to talk about.
Good morning, Your Highness, one of the boys greeted.
I remembered Ian in an instant, and after yesterday, it was no surprise he was the first one to speak to me. And to you? I walked on, not slowing, though many of the others bowed or called my name. I only stopped to be briefed by one of the guards heading up the process.
It's a short loop, Your Highness. At under 10 miles an hour, it should take 20 to 30 minutes to make our way around. Guards are lining the route for good measure, but everyone is so excited it should be a very fun event.
I clasped my hands calmly in front of me. Thank you, officer. I appreciate your work to make this happen. He pressed his lips together, attempting to hide his proud smile.
Anything for you, Your Highness.
He went to walk away, but I called him back. The officer puffed out his chest, so pleased to be needed again.
I looked around at the swarm of young men, dazed by their number, trying to make the smartest choice. I saw Henry's wild hair blowing in the wind and smiled to myself. He stood on the outside of a group, listening to what they were saying and nodding, though I was sure he couldn't understand anything going on around him. I didn't see his translator, and wondered if Henry had banished him for the day. I searched again, hunting, and found one boy who really knew how to wear a suit. It wasn't that he looked like a model, but more like he understood the fine art of tailoring and had set his butler to work immediately on his choice for the day. Also, I couldn't get over his two-toned shoes. Thank goodness I remembered his name. When I'm up there, I'd like Mr. Garner on one side and Mr. Jacopi on the other, please.
Certainly, Your Highness. I'll take care of it.
I turned and looked at the float. They'd taken the frame of one of the Christmas floats and adorned it with thousands of summer blooms. It was festive and beautiful, and the scent of the flowers permeated the air. I inhaled, and the clean, sweet smell soothed every piece of me. Over the walls, I could hear the shouts of people who had lined up for this moment. Whatever ways I'd failed last night would be more than forgotten today.
All right, gentlemen,
General Ledger's voice boomed over the din.
I need you all to line up along the path and we'll get you up safely.
Mom was in the back with Dad, who had picked up a few stray flowers that had blown off the float and stuck them in her hair. She looked at him with absolute adoration as he stepped away with his camera. He circled the group, snapping pictures. He got plenty of the boys, some of the fountain, and a couple of me. Dad, I whispered, a little embarrassed. He winked and backed away, still taking shots, but in a less obvious way.
Your Highness,
General Ledger said, placing a hand on my back.
We're going to send you up last. I heard you wanted Henry and Hale beside you, is that right?
Yes.
Good picks. They're polite ones. Okay, we'll be ready to go in a moment.
He walked over to my mother and relayed something to her. She seemed uneasy, but General Ledger made motions with his hands, attempting to reassure her. Dad was a little harder to read from here. Either he wasn't bothered at all, or he was hiding it very well. The boys were led up the hidden ladder, and I paced as I waited for my turn. Along the wall, mixed in with a few guards and guests, I noticed Henry's translator standing, arms crossed, watching the scene. He bit at a fingernail, and I shook my head walking over. Don't do that, I started, trying to be firm without being rude. You don't want the cameras to catch you with your fingers in your mouth, do you? He whipped his hand down immediately.
I'm sorry, Your Highness.
Not going up there? I nodded toward the massive float. He smiled.
No, Your Highness. I think Henry can wave without interpretation.
Still, I felt the nerves buzzing around him. He'll be right beside me, I assured him. I'll try to make sure he knows what's going on. The translator let out a massive sigh.
That makes this far less distressing. And he's going to be so excited. He talks about you every waking moment.
I laughed. Well, it's hardly been a day. I'm sure it'll pass.
I don't think so. He's in awe of you. Of everything, really. The experience alone is big for him. His family has worked hard to establish themselves. And that he finds himself in a place where he can have even a second of your attention? He's so happy.
I looked up at Henry, straightening his tie as he waited on the front of the float. Is that what he told you?
Not in so many words. He's aware of how fortunate he is, and he sees so many good things in you. He goes on and on.
I smiled sadly. It would have been nice if he could say as much to me. Were you born in Swendway too? He shook his head.
No. First generation to be born in Ilya. But my parents are trying to hold on to our old customs and things, so we live in a small Swendish community in Kent.
Like Henry?
Yes, They're becoming more and more common. When Henry was selected, his family put out a call for a reliable translator, and I submitted my resume, flew to Soda, and now I have a new job.
So, you've only known Henry for
a week, but we've already spent so much time together and get along so well. I feel like I've known him for years.
He spoke with a sweet affection, brotherly in a way. I feel so rude. I don't even know your name. He bowed.
I'm Eric.
Eric?
Yes.
Huh. I expected something a bit different. He shrugged.
Well, that's the closest translation. Your Highness?
General Ledger called, and that was my cue. I'll watch out for him, I promised, scurrying over to the float. The ladder was a challenge. I had to conquer it while wearing heels and holding my dress with one hand, which meant I had to let go of one rung before grabbing the next, and I was particularly proud of myself for managing that on my own. I brushed back my hair as I went to my place. Henry turned to me immediately.
Hello today, Your Highness.
His blonde curls were lifted by the breeze and he smiled brightly. I touched his shoulder. Good morning, Henry. Call me Edlin. He scrunched his face, a little confused.
Say to you Edlin?
Yes. He gave me a thumbs up, and I patted myself on the back for putting him beside me. In seconds, he left me smiling. I leaned behind Henry, looking between the others to find Eric on the ground and gave him a thumbs up, too. He smiled and put a hand over his heart like he was relieved. I faced Hale. How are you today?
Good, he said tentatively. Listen, I wanted to apologize again for yesterday. I didn't mean to.
I waved my hand, stopping him. No, no. As I'm sure you can imagine, this is a bit stressful for me.
Yes, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes.
I would want to be in yours, I exclaimed, looking down. I love these.
Thank you. Do they work all right with the tie? I like to experiment, but I'm starting to second guess.
No, you make it all work. Hale beamed, thrilled to be past his first impression and on to the second. So, it was you who said you'd prove yourself to me each day, yes?
Indeed it was.
He seemed pleased, I remembered. And how will you do that today? He considered.
If you feel the slightest bit unsteady, my hand is here for you, and I promise not to let you fall.
I like that one. You think you've got it bad? Try this in heels.
We're opening the gates, someone called. Hold on.
I waved goodbye to Mom and Dad, then grabbed onto the bar surrounding the top of the float. It wasn't too far of a drop if someone fell, but for the five of us across the front, there was a chance we'd get flattened by the float if we did. Hale and Henry were steady, just as I'd hoped, but plenty of the others clapped or shouted out self-encouragements. Burke, for one, kept yelling, "We've got this," even though all he really had to do was stand and wave. The moment the gates opened, the cheering erupted. As we rounded the corner, I could see the first camp of cameras filming every second. Some people had signs supporting their favorite selected boy, or were waving the Ilian flag. Henry, look, I said, leaning into him and pointing to a sign with his name on it. He took a moment to understand, then when he finally saw his name, he gasped.
Hey!
He was so excited, he lifted my hand off his shoulder and kissed it. Had anyone else done that, it might have been unwelcome. But from him, the gesture felt so innocent, I wasn't bothered at all.
We love you, Princess Edlin,
someone called, and I waved in the direction of the sound.
Long live the king!
Bless you, princess!
I mouthed my thanks to them for their support, and I felt encouraged. It wasn't every day that I saw my people face to face, heard their voices, and sensed how they needed us. I knew they loved me, of course. I was going to be their queen. But typically,
When I did leave the palace, the focus was on Mom or Dad. It felt amazing to have so much of the affection finally centered on me. Maybe I could be as beloved as my father. The parade went on, with people calling our names and throwing flowers. It was turning out to be the spectacle I'd hoped. I couldn't have asked for anything better, until we reached the final stretch of the route. Something hit me that was clearly not a flower. I looked, to see a runny egg dripping down my dress and onto my bare legs. After that, half a tomato hit me, then something else I couldn't identify. I dropped down, covering myself with my arms. "We need jobs," someone shrieked. "The castes still live." I peeked out and saw a cluster of people protesting and hurling their rotten food at the float. Some held angry signs they must have hidden from the guards until now, and others threw disgusting words at me, calling me things that I'd never imagined even the worst of people saying. Hale dropped down and lay in front of me, wrapping an arm around my shoulder.
"Don't worry, I've got you."
"I don't understand," I mumbled. Henry got down on one knee, trying to hit anything that came near us, and Hale guarded me without wavering, even though I heard him grunt and felt him clench up when he was hit with something heavy. I recognized General Ledger's voice, shouting at the selected to get down. As soon as everyone was low and secure, the float sped up, moving faster than it was probably designed to. People who actually cared about the parade booed as we hurtled past them, stealing their opportunity to catch a glimpse of the whole entourage. I heard the float hit the gravel of the palace driveway, and the instant we came to a stop, I pulled back from Hale and jumped to my feet. I hurried to the ladder and worked my way down. "Edlin," Mom cried. "I'm fine." Dad stood in shock.
"Love, what happened?"
"Hell if I know." I stormed off, humiliated. As if the whole thing wasn't embarrassing enough, the sad eyes of everyone around me made it even worse. "Poor thing," their expressions seemed to say, and I hated their pity more than I hated the people who thought this was acceptable. I scurried through the palace, head down, hoping no one would stop me. It wasn't my lucky day, of course, because as I rounded onto the landing of the second floor, Josie was there.
"Ew, what happened to you?"
I didn't answer, moving even faster. Why? What had I done to deserve this? Nina was cleaning when I walked in.
"Miss, help,"
I whimpered before bursting into tears. She came over and embraced me, getting my mess all over her pristine uniform.
"Hush, now, we'll clean you up. You get undressed and I'll start the bath."
Why would they do this to me?
Who did it?
"My people," I answered in pain. "My subjects. Why would they do this?" Nina swallowed, disappointed for my sake. "I don't know." I wiped at my face and makeup, and something green came off on my hand. The tears fell again. "Let me start that bath." She scurried away, and I stood there, helpless. I knew the water would get rid of the mess, and I knew it would take away the smell. But no amount of scrubbing would ever wash away this memory. Hours later, I was scrunched up on a chair in Dad's sitting room, bundled in my coziest sweater. Despite the heat, my clothes were my only armor at the moment, and the layers made me feel safe. Mom and Dad were both drinking something a little stronger than wine, a rare occasion, though it didn't appear to be doing much for their nerves. Aaron knocked but came in before anyone answered the door. Our eyes met, and I rushed across the room, throwing my arms around him.
"Sorry, Edie," he said, kissing my hair.
"Thanks."
"Glad you could come, Aaron."
Dad was looking at some of the stills from the parade that the photographers had provided him, stacking them on top of several of today's papers.
"Of course."
He put his arm around my shoulder and walked me to my seat. going to stand with Dad while I curled back up into a ball.
I still can't believe this happened, Mom said, reaching the bottom of her glass.
I could see her weighing in her head whether or not to have another. She decided against it.
Me either,
I mumbled, still suffering under the surge of hatred those people felt for me.
What did I do?
Nothing, Mom assured me, coming to sit beside me. They're mad at the monarchy, not you. Today your face was the one they could see, and that's the one they attacked. It could have been any of us.
I felt so certain a selection would lift their mood. I thought they would delight in this.
Dad stared at the pictures, still shocked. We sat silent for a while. He'd been so wrong.
Well, Aaron started. They might have if it wasn't Edelin.
We all gaped at him.
Excuse me?
I nearly started crying all over again, pained by his cruel words.
Mom just said it could have been you or her or anyone, so why are you blaming me?
He pursed his lips, looking around the room.
Fine, we'll talk about this. If Edelin was a typical girl, one who wasn't raised to be in control all the time, this would probably look different. But pick up any of those papers, he said, gesturing to the pile.
Dad did.
In general, she comes across as distant, and every picture from last night's dinner is uncomfortable to look at. You're nearly scowling in some of them.
If you were in my shoes, you'd know how hard this is. Aaron rolled his eyes at me. More than anyone, he knew I wasn't intending to pick a mate in the next few months. Mom left me and peeked over Dad's shoulder. He's right. On your own, you look like an island, and with the selected, there's no chemistry, no romance. Listen, I'm not performing for anyone. I refuse to act all dopey over a bunch of boys to entertain people. I crossed my arms, determined. 2 days in, and this was already a disaster. I knew it wouldn't work, and now I was stuck in this humiliating situation. Could they dare ask me to sink further into shame for the sake of something that clearly wasn't going to help? The room went silent, and foolishly, I thought for a moment that I'd won.
Edelin.
I looked at Dad, trying not to be moved by the pleading in his eyes.
You promised me 3 months. We're trying hard to brainstorm on our end, but we can't extinguish that fire if we're dealing with new ones. I need you to try.
In that moment, I saw something I hadn't really noticed before. His age. Dad wasn't old by any stretch of the word, but he had done more in his lifetime than most people twice his age could even hope for. He was in a constant state of sacrifice. For Mom, for us, for his people. And he was exhausted. I swallowed, knowing that I'd need to find a way to look like I cared about the selection, if only for his sake. I assume you know how to get in touch with the press? Dad nodded.
Yes, we have trusted photographers and journalists on call.
Get a few cameras in the men's parlor tomorrow morning. I'll take care of this. Chapter 11. The next morning I skipped breakfast with my family so I could compose myself. I didn't want anyone seeing how rattled yesterday had left me, and I felt like I was building a shield around myself, one steady breath at a time. Nina was humming as she tidied my room, and it was one of the best things. Not only was she gentle with me after I came in yesterday, she didn't ask a single question or bring up the topic again. I didn't have to worry about her, which was why she couldn't leave the palace one day. What about me? I think it's a pants day, Nina, I called. She stopped humming. More black? At least a little. We shared a smile as she handed me my tight black pants, which I paired with heels that would kill me by noon. I pulled on a flowy shirt and a vest and found a tiara with jewels that matched the shirt. I was ready.
I decided that I was going to do exactly what Dad had done with his selection. On his first day, he sent home at least 6 girls. I was planning to eliminate nearly twice as many. Certainly, weeding out all the unlikely candidates would show how seriously I was taking this process, that the outcome was important to me. I wished there was a way to do this without the cameras, but they were a necessary evil. I had a mental list prepared, and I knew vaguely what I wanted to say, but if I made a mistake with reporters present, it would be just as bad as yesterday, meaning I needed to be perfect. Because the women's room was considered the property of the queen, any male had to ask permission before entering. The men's parlor had been thrown together for my convenience, so no such formality stood, and I was able to complete a rather dazzling entrance by pulling the double doors open and letting the rush of wind blow back my hair. The selected all hurried to face me, some jumping to their feet or pulling themselves away from the reporters accompanying the cameras. I passed Paisley Fisher, noticing that he audibly gulped as I stopped. Smiling, I placed a hand on his shoulder. "You can go." He glanced at the people beside him.
"Go?"
"Yes, go. As in, thank you for your participation, but your presence at the palace is no longer required." When he lingered, I leaned in, breathing my instructions. "The longer you stay, the more embarrassing it becomes. You should leave." I pulled back, noting the marked anger in his eyes as he slowly left the room. I couldn't figure out why he was so vexed. It wasn't as if I'd kicked him or shouted. I internally praised myself for getting rid of someone so childish and tried to remember my list. Who was next? Oh, this one was well deserved. "Blakely, isn't it?" His voice squeaked and he started again.
"Yes, Your Highness."
"When we met, you couldn't stop staring at my breasts." His face went pale, as if he seriously thought he was so subtle no one would notice. "Make sure you get an equally satisfactory look at my backside as you leave." I made sure to address him loud enough that the cameras and the other boys would hear. Hopefully, his humiliation would prevent others from thinking they could behave similarly. He ducked his head and left the room. I stopped in front of Jamal. "You can leave." Next to him, Connor was breaking out into a sweat again. "You can join him." They shared a confused look and left together, shaking their heads. I came upon Kyle next. Unlike most of the others, he didn't avert his eyes. On the contrary, he stared into mine, and I could see him pleading for me to end his misery and get him out of here. I might have, if I didn't think his mother would kill me, as I would surely have to make him leave the palace, and if I hadn't seen his name on the most signs yesterday. Of course, Kyle was the hometown pick, so maybe the crowd was biased. Still, I couldn't get rid of him, not yet. Beside him, Hale swallowed. I remembered how he'd protected me during the parade, knowing he'd taken hits that were intended for me, some of which had seemed rather painful. I came near and spoke softly. "Thank you for yesterday. You were very brave."
"It was nothing," he assured me, "though the suit couldn't be saved."
He said it jokingly, trying to make the whole thing seem like less of an issue than it was. "Shame." I lowered my eyes and continued walking. I didn't think the cameras would have picked up the conversation, but I knew they'd see our smiles. I wondered what would be made of that. "Isher," I said to a slick-haired, gangly young man. "No, thank you." He didn't even question it. He blushed and fled as quickly as he could. I heard a mumbling and wondered who would dare to speak right now. As I whipped my head around, I saw Henry's translator relaying the scene in Henry's ear as quickly and quietly as he could. Henry's eyes were stressed, but when he finished listening, he looked up at me and smiled. He had such a goofy little grin,
and his hair curled in a way that he looked like he was playing a game while standing still.
Ugh. I had intended to end his suffering and send him home, but he looked far too pleased to be here. Some of them had to stay anyway, and Henry was harmless.
I simply flicked my hand as I passed Nolan and announced to Jamie that his request for a payout was the most offensive way to introduce himself. I continued to stalk around the room, checking to make sure I covered everyone I wanted gone. The reactions of the spared boys ranged from interesting to bizarre. Holden kept swallowing, waiting for the bomb to drop, while Jack smiled in a strange way, almost as if he found this all entertaining or exciting. I finally came up to Ian, who didn't look away, but chose to wink at me. I noticed he was sitting alone, with only a leather-bound journal and pen to keep him company. Not here to make friends, it seemed.
A wink is a bit bold, don't you think? I asked quietly.
What princess would want a man by her side who wasn't bold?
I raised an eyebrow, amused. You're not at all worried about being overconfident, are you?
No, it's who I am, and I don't intend to hide anything from you.
There was something almost frightening about his presence, but I liked that he had the nerve to be real. I noted the camera coming to hover behind him, trying to capture my expression, and I shook my head at him, suppressing a smirk. I moved on, adding Arizona, Brady, Polly, and McKendrick to the ranks of the evicted. If I'd counted correctly, that was 11 gone. Once the eliminated had all left, I went to the door, turning to face the remaining candidates. If you're still here, that means you've done something between our first meeting and now to impress me, or have at least had the common sense not to offend me. Some smiled, probably thinking of Blakely, while others stood there stunned. I want to encourage you all to be deliberate, because I take this very seriously. This isn't a game, gentlemen. This is my life. I pulled the doors shut behind me and heard the flurry of activity pick up in my wake. Some laughed or sighed, while someone simply repeated, oh my goodness, again and again. The reporters' voices rose above them all, encouraging them to recount their feelings on the first elimination. Letting out a long breath, I walked away feeling confident. I'd taken a decisive step, and Dad could rest easy now, knowing the selection was properly underway and that I wouldn't let him down. To make up for the lackluster first evening and the complete absence of interaction after the parade yesterday, the boys were invited that night to a pre-dinner tea to meet the household and, of course, speak with me, their beloved would-be bride. Mom and Dad were there, along with Aaron, Caden, and Austin. Josie came with the Woodworks, who were working very hard not to hover over their son. And Miss Lucy was circling the room, not really speaking to anyone, but looking lovely. She never seemed to care for crowds. I'd changed into a gown for dinner and put on another pair of toe-destroying heels. I was still riding my post-elimination buzz, so pleased to be making steps to help Dad. It dwindled quickly, though, as Aaron walked toward me with a warning glare in his eyes.
"What in the world did you do to them?"
he asked accusingly. "Nothing," I vowed. "I held an elimination. I wanted to show everyone that this was important to me, like Dad." Aaron pressed his palm into his forehead.
"Have you had your nose buried in reports all day?"
"Of course I have," I replied. "You might not have noticed, but that's kind of my job." Aaron leaned in.
"The clips on the news have painted you to be a black widow. Your face was smug as you kicked them out. And you got rid of a third of them, Edlin. That doesn't make the candidates look important. It makes them look disposable."
I could feel the blood draining from my face as Aaron continued in a whisper.
"Two of them have asked in the most circumspect and quiet ways possible if there was a chance that you prefer women."
I let out a sound that wasn't quite a laugh. "Of course.
because the only way I could possibly like men is if I bowed down at their feet.
This isn't the time to make a stand, Edlin. You need to be gracious.
Pardon me, Your Highness.
Aaron and I both turned at the sound of our title, and I found myself with a reporter in my face, her eyes and smile bordering on manic.
I hate to interrupt, but I was wondering if I could have a brief interview with the princess before my deadline.
The reporter showed her teeth again, and I couldn't stop myself from feeling I was about to be eaten alive, either figuratively or literally.
She'd be happy to,
Aaron offered, kissing my forehead as he disappeared. My pulse sped. I hadn't prepared myself for this. But of all the things that could happen right now, I refused to let the public see me sweat.
Your Highness, you eliminated 11 suitors today. Do you think this cut was a bit drastic?
I squared my shoulders and gave her a sweet grin.
I can certainly see why some might think that,
I answered generously.
But this is a very important decision. I don't think it would be wise to spend time on young men who are rude or unimpressive. I'm hoping with a smaller pool, I'll be able to get to know these gentlemen much better.
I scanned the words in my head. Nothing humiliating or incriminating in there.
Yes, but why were you so harsh? For a few, you simply said no or flicked your hand.
I tried not to let the worry show on my face. At the time, those things had seemed kind of funny.
When my father is stern, no one chastises him. I don't think it's fair that when I act similarly, I'm seen as cruel. I'm making a huge decision, and I'm trying to be wise about it.
While I wanted to scream those words, I said them with the voice I'd been trained to use in interviews, and I even managed to smile through most of it.
But one of them cried after you left the room, she informed me.
What? I asked, worrying that my face was growing paler by the second.
One of the selected cried when the elimination ended. Do you think that's a normal response, or that maybe you elicited it by being severe with them?
I swallowed, scrambling for anything to say.
I have three brothers. They all cry, and I can assure you, the reasons rarely make sense to me.
She chuckled.
So you don't think you were too hard on them?
I knew what she was doing. Digging at the same question until I snapped. She was very close to getting the better of me.
I can't imagine what it would be like on the other end of the selection process, and to be removed so early on, but besides my father, no one here knows what it's like to be on this side of it either. I'm going to do my best to find a worthy husband, and if that man can't handle a harsh word or two, he definitely wouldn't make it as a prince. Trust me on that.
I reached out and touched her arm, as if this was gossip or a joke. It was a disarming technique.
Speaking of suitors, I hope you'll excuse me. I need to go spend some time with them.
She opened her mouth to ask another question, but I turned away, holding my head high. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't go straight to the drinks. I couldn't unleash every swear word I knew into the air, and I couldn't run into the arms of my parents. I had to look content. So I walked around the room, smiling and batting my lashes at the boys as I passed them. I noticed those small things alone made them grin at me or change their posture. Instead of retreating, their expression softened. And I could see these tiny moments of gentleness were erasing their memories of this morning in the men's parlor already. I wished with everything I had that the public would let it slide as quickly as the boys did. I figured eventually one of them would be brave enough to speak to me. And it turned out that person was Hale.
So, we're at a tea party,
he said, falling into step beside me.
What kind of tea does the princess like best?
He sipped from his own cup, smiling shyly. Hale had an effortless warmth about him, similar to Miss Marley, and it was easy to hold a conversation with him. At the moment, I was more grateful he was the first one to approach me than he could have ever guessed. He'd rescued me twice now.
It depends on my mood, or the season. Like, I can't seem to enjoy a white tea during the winter. But black tea is a good staple.
Agreed.
Hale stood there nodding. I heard someone cried after I left today. Is that true? Hale's eyes widened and he let out a whistle.
Yeah, it was Leland. I thought he'd broken a bone or something. Took us nearly an hour to calm him down.
What happened?
You happened. You come in, prowling around the room, eliminating people at random. I guess he has a timid disposition, and you really shook him.
I spotted Leland standing alone in a corner. If I was sincerely looking for a husband, he'd be gone already. I was a little surprised he hadn't asked to leave. I think it came out more callously than I'd intended. Hale laughed once.
You don't have to be callous at all. We all know who you are and what you can do. We respect that.
Tell that to the guy who asked when he was getting paid, I muttered. He didn't have a response for that, and I felt bad for bringing our conversation to a halt. So, what is it today? I asked, trying to regain my composure.
I'm sorry?
How are you proving yourself to me today? He smiled.
Today, it's my promise never to bring you white tea in the winter.
He didn't say goodbye or bow, but walked away, seeming hopeful. Over his shoulder, Baden caught my eye. My first impression of him had nothing to do with our initial conversation. I only saw him as the boy Aunt May thought had promise. I could tell he was debating whether or not to walk over. I looked down at the floor and peeked his way from under my lashes. I felt foolish trying to play this part, but it worked, and he started to cross the floor. I thought back to the interviewer, musing over how funny it was that I'd been taught plenty of disarming techniques for interviews or negotiations, but when it came to boys, I was left to figure it out alone. Baden looked eager to speak to me, but we were both shocked when another boy coming from a different direction arrived at us at the exact same moment.
Gunner,
Baden greeted.
How are you enjoying the party?
It's excellent. I was just coming to thank Her Highness for hosting it. It's been a pleasure to meet your younger brothers.
Oh dear, what did they do? Baden laughed, and Gunner tried to suppress a smile.
Austin is awfully energetic.
I sighed. I blame my parents. It seems that by the time you get to your fourth child, your desire to instill certain values goes out the window.
I like him, though. Hope he'll be around.
It's hard to say. Austin's the hardest to keep tabs on. Even his nanny, whom he despises, by the way, can't keep up with him. Either he's causing chaos or he's hiding. Baden jumped in. I wondered if he was trying to flirt or just seem brave.
Those two moods are so different. Is everyone in your family like that?
I knew what he was asking. Was I the kind of girl who aimed to find solace or cause a stir with no in-between? Unquestionably. Baden nodded.
Good to know. I'll buy a shield and some binoculars.
And darn it, I giggled. I didn't mean to, but I did. I tried not to be upset for letting my guard down. Hopefully it would make for some good pictures. I curtsied and continued around the space. I saw Henry across the room, Eric shadowing his every step. When our eyes met, he began walking my way immediately, grinning from ear to ear.
Hello, you va Ilta?
He kissed my cheek, which again, would have been shocking from anyone else.
He says good evening.
Hivat ila, I mumbled, attempting to duplicate his words. He chuckled as I butchered his language.
Good, good.
Was he always this cheerful? I turned to Eric. How bad was it really? His tone was kind, but he wasn't going to lie.
I'm sorry to say, there was no way I could have even guessed at what that was.
I smiled genuinely. The pair of them were so unassuming. And considering how alienated Henry must have felt, that was saying something. Before I could continue the conversation, Josie was beside me. Great party, Edlin. You're Henry, right? I've seen your picture, she said in a rush, sticking her hand out to greet him. He must have been confused, but he accepted the gesture all the same. I'm Josie. Edlin and I are practically sisters, she gushed.
Except that we're not related at all, I added.
Eric tried to convey everything to Henry quickly and quietly, which distracted Josie. Who are you? She asked. I don't remember seeing your picture.
I'm Sir Henry's translator. He only speaks Finnish.
Josie looked incredibly disappointed. I realized that she must have come over because she found Henry attractive. He certainly seemed younger than most of the others, and did have that happy-go-lucky air about him, which she must have thought suited her better than me. So, she began, how does he, like, even live? Without even checking with Henry, Eric spoke up.
If you're practically Her Highness's sister, then I'm sure the palace has afforded you an excellent education. So, of course, you know the relations between Ilya and Swendwe are old and strong, drawing many Swendish people to settle here, making small communities and vice versa. It's not difficult at all.
I pressed my lips together, trying not to grin at how articulately he put Josie in her place. Josie nodded. Oh, of course. And that was as hard as she was willing to try. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, I whispered once she was out of earshot. It has nothing to do with you two. She's just terrible. No offense taken, Eric replied honestly.
He conversed back and forth for a moment with Henry in Finnish, presumably catching him up on what just happened. Pardon me, I need to speak with someone, but I'll see you at dinner. I curtsied and left them, searching for any sort of retreat. I'd been totally thrown off by that interview earlier, and I was proud that I pulled myself back together in the aftermath, but Josie had the ability to ruffle me without fail. I saw Mom alone and rushed over to her, hoping for some solace. Instead, I was greeted by a glare similar to Aaron's when I'd first come in.
Why didn't you tell us that was what you were going to do?
She asked quietly, holding a smile as if nothing was wrong. I did the same as I answered. I thought it would be good. That's what Dad did.
Yes, but he did it on a much smaller scale and privately. You put their shame on display. No one will admire you for that.
I huffed. I'm sorry. Really, I didn't realize. She put an arm around me.
I don't mean to be hard on you. We know you're trying.
Just then, a photographer came up to get a candid photo of us talking. I wondered what the headline for that one would be. Something about the selected teaching the selector, maybe. What am I supposed to do now? She looked around the room, double-checking that no one could hear.
Just consider a little romance. Nothing scandalous, for goodness sake, she added quickly. But watching you fall in love, that's what the people want to see.
I can't make that happen. I can't.
America, dear,
Dad called. It looked like Austin had spilled something on himself, and Mom rushed over to lead him away. I would have bet money that whatever just happened was a deliberate attempt on Austin's part to get out of the room. I stood there alone, trying to be inconspicuous as I scanned the room. Too many strangers. Too many eyes watching and waiting for me to perform. I was ready for the selection to be over about 4 hours ago. I took a deep breath. 3 months would buy me freedom. I could do this. I had to. I walked across the room deliberately, knowing who I needed to speak to. Once I found him, I leaned in and spoke in his ear. Come to my room, 8 o'clock sharp. Tell no one. Chapter 12. I paced as I waited for the knock to come. Kyle was really the only person I could trust with this task, though I was loath to ask him. I was prepared to strike a bargain, but I wasn't sure what I could offer him yet. I felt confident he'd have his own ideas. The raps on the door were quiet, and I could almost hear the question in them. What am I doing here? I pulled the door open, and there, right on time, was Kyle.
Your Highness, he said with a comical bow. I've come to sweep you off your feet.
Hardy Har, get in here. Kyle walked in and surveyed my shelves.
Last time I was in your room, you had a collection of wooden ponies.
Outgrew that,
but not being a bossy tyrant.
Nope, just like you didn't outgrow being an insufferable bookworm.
Is this how you went over all your dates?
I smirked. More or less. Sit down. I have a proposition for you. He spotted the wine I'd provided and wasted no time in pouring himself a glass.
You want some?
I sighed. Please, we'll both need it. He paused, eyeing me before continuing.
No, I'm nervous. What do you want?
I took my glass, trying to remember how I wanted to explain this to him. You know me, Kyle. You've known me my whole life.
True. In fact, I was thinking yesterday that I have a vague recollection of you running around in nothing but a diaper. It was a good look.
I rolled my eyes and tried not to laugh. Anyway, you, to some degree, understand my personality, who I am when the cameras aren't rolling. He sipped, contemplating my words.
I think I understand you when they're on as well, but please continue.
I hadn't thought about that, how he'd seen me go through the many phases of growing up, both on and off screen. There was a switch I had to flip when I was on display, and he knew it. The selection wasn't my idea, but it's something I need to put my best effort into. I think I am, personally. But the public expects me to be a giddy little girl next to all of you. And I don't think I can do that. I can't act stupid.
Actually,
don't. He smiled wickedly and took another sip of his wine. You're such a pain. Why am I even bothering?
No, go on. You don't want to act stupid.
He set down his glass and leaned forward. I took a breath, hunting for the words again. They want romance, but I'm not prepared to behave like that publicly. At least, not when I haven't truly connected with someone. Still, I need to give them something. I ducked my head and peeked up at him from under my lashes.
Like what exactly?
A kiss.
A kiss?
Just a little one. And you're the only person I can ask, because you'd know it wasn't real and things wouldn't get complicated. And I'm willing to give you something in return. He raised his eyebrows.
What?
I shrugged. Whatever you want, really. Within reason. I can't offer you a country or anything.
Could you talk to my mom? Help get me out of here.
And go where exactly?
Anywhere.
He sighed desperately.
My mom. I don't know what happened that made her so crazy loyal to your parents, but she's got it in her head that this is our home forever. Do you know how much work it took for me to get out of here and take that one accelerated course? I want to travel. I want to build. I want to do more than read about things. Sometimes I think one more day behind these walls might kill me.
I get that, I whispered, not thinking. I straightened up. I can make it happen. As soon as an opportunity becomes available, I will help convince your parents that you need to leave the palace. He paused a second, then threw back the rest of his wine.
One kiss?
Just one.
When?
Tonight. There will be a photographer waiting down the hall at 9, hopefully very well hidden, because I'd like to pretend he isn't there. Kyle nodded.
Fine. One kiss.
Thank you. We sat in silence, watching the hands on the clock. After 3 minutes, I couldn't take it anymore. What do you mean you want to build things? He lit up.
That's what I study, architecture and design. I like dreaming up structures, figuring out how to make them, and sometimes how to make them particularly beautiful.
That's actually really interesting, Kyle.
I know.
He gave one of his crooked smiles, just like his dad's, and it was fun to see how excited he was about it.
Do you want to see?
See what?
Some of my designs. I have them in my room. My old one, not my selected one. So they're just down the hall.
Sure. I took one last sip of wine and followed him out. Except for a guard or two, the hallway was empty as Kyle and I made our way to his room. He opened the door and flicked on the lights, and I had to stop myself from gasping. He was a mess. His bed wasn't made, there were clothes amassed in a corner, and several dirty plates were piled on his side table.
I know what you're thinking. How does he keep it so immaculate?
He read my mind, I said, trying not to appear completely repulsed. At least it didn't smell bad.
About a year ago, I asked the staff to stop cleaning for me. I do it myself, but the selection kind of caught me off guard, so I just left it how it was.
He started kicking objects under his bed and trying to pull the things within his reach a little straighter.
Why don't you let them clean? I'm a grown man, I can take care of myself.
I didn't think he meant that as a dig at me, but it stung all the same.
Anyway, this is my workspace.
In the far corner of the room, the walls were covered in pictures and posters of everything from skyscrapers to mud huts. His desk was overflowing with prints he'd drawn up, and models built from wooden scraps and thin strips of metal.
Did you make all these?
I asked, gently touching a structure that slightly twisted as it went upward.
Yep, concept, design. I'd love to create real buildings one day. I'm studying, but there's only so much I can learn without getting my hands on things, you know?
Kyle. I took in all of it. The colors and lines. The amount of time and thought that must have gone into each of them. This is amazing.
It's just me fooling around.
No, don't do that. Don't make it seem like less than it is. I could never do something like this.
Sure you could.
He went over and pulled out a ruler shaped like a T and laid it over something he was already working on.
See? It's just a matter of looking at the lines and doing the math.
Ugh, more math. I do enough of that as it is. He laughed.
But this is fun math.
Fun math.